This is part four of Message to the Nations. It seems like there's a lot to say to the nations, to the Gentiles. So if you're listening, it's for you. Here are the words of Messiah in Luke 21, beginning at verse 20. Luke 21 and verse 20. But when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then know that its desolation is near. Now, let's stop right there for a second and consider the name Jerusalem, Yerushalayim. Jerusalem, the word, is comprised of two Hebrew words, Yara and Shalom. Yara, Shalom. Yara is spelled Yod Resh Wa. Yod Resh Wa. Anciently, these Hebrew letters pictured Yod, a closed hand denoting ownership, Resh denoting a head or leader or first or highest, and Wa denoting nail. Put together, we see my leader nailed. Now, its grammatical usage of the word yorah, the way it's used grammatically, means to flow as water. Or it can also mean to rain. Now, I want you to remember that yorah can mean my leader nailed, but it could also mean to flow as water, or it can mean rain. And figuratively, then, it means to teach. It has all the elements to mean teach. And that's Yara. Yara Salam. Salam, which is spelled Shin Lamed Mem, is the root of the word Shalom, which is spelled Shin Lamed Wa Mem. So, grammatically, Shalom is the foundation of peace. It's the root of the word peace. And it means the foundation of peace. Shalom. The foundation of peace. So the Hebrew words for Jerusalem, Yara Shalom, essentially means foundational teaching of peace. Or if you will, the foundational teaching of peace by my master who was nailed. Yara Shalom. So I ask you, who teaches peace? If you go to the book of John, chapter 14, and look at verse 27, this is Yahshua speaking. John 14, 27. Who teaches peace? Yahshua says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." So who teaches peace? Remember how Yara means to flow as water? Who speaks of a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life? John 4, John 4, the same book, but beginning at verse 13. John 4, beginning at verse 13. Answering the question, who is speaking of the flow of water? Yahshua answered and said to her, that's the Samaritan, the Gentile woman at the well, "Whoever drinks of this water," pointing to the well, "will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." So who speaks of the flow of water to everlasting life? And who speaks of rivers of flowing water? John 7, beginning at verse 37. John 7, verse 37. On the last day, that great day of the feast, Joshua stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as Scripture has said, Out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. So, and this is kind of a strange question. Who is Jerusalem? Yahshua. He is the heart and soul of Jerusalem, Yerushalayim. And where did Yahweh choose to put his name? If you turn to the book of 2 Chronicles in chapter 12. 2 Chronicles chapter 12. Thus King Rehoboam strengthened himself in Jerusalem and reigned. Now Rehoboam was 41 years old when he became king. And he reigned 17 years in Jerusalem, the city which Yahweh had chosen out of all the tribes of Israel to put his name there. So Yahweh chose to put his name in Jerusalem. But who came in the name of Yahweh and will come again in the name of Yahweh? If you go to the book of Matthew in chapter 23, Matthew 23 and verse 37. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings. But you were not willing. See, your house is left to you desolate. For I say to you, you shall see me no more till you say, Blessed is he who comes in the name of Yahweh, Baruch Haba B'Shem Yahweh. If you would go to Psalm 118, beginning at verse 26. Baruch Haba B'Shem Yahweh. Blessed is he who comes in the name of Yahweh. We have blessed you from the house of Yahweh. El is Yahweh, and he has given us light. Bind the sacrifice with cords to the horns of the altar. You are Elohi, my Elohim, and I will praise you. You are Eli, my El. I will exalt you. Oh, give thanks to Yahweh, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. And the next verse, chapter 119 in Psalms, verse 1, reads, Aleph. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law. Now that word law there is not Torah. It is Torat, which means laws or teachings. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the laws of Yahweh. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies. Keep his testimonies means preserve his witness. Preserve his witness. Preserve there is the Hebrew word notzri. Notzri. As in Nazarenes, or as you would see in Hebrew, notzarim. Notzarim. Who seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They don't sin. They walk in his ways. And as you know, those who call themselves the Nazarenes, the Notzarim, follow the Notzre, Yahshua, who is the preserver, who witnesses of Yahweh. He also witnesses of the law of Yahweh. So I ask you, will you ever see the name of Jerusalem the same? Yara Shalom. The foundational teaching of peace by my master who was nailed. Okay, let's go back to Luke. Luke chapter 21. Beginning again at verse 20. Luke 21, verse 20. But when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then know that its desolation, that is, its barrenness, its misery, its anguish, is near. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let those who are in the midst of her depart. And let not those who are in the country enter her. For these are the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. But woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing babies in those days. For there will be great distress in the land and wrath upon this people. And they will fall by the edge of the sword and be led away captive into all nations. And Jerusalem will be trampled by Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. Now, if you've been listening to the previous discussions on the message to the nations, you would recognize that. The phrase, you'll recognize the phrase until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. But the verse that comes before that, Jerusalem will be trampled by Gentiles, refers to the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 CE. Now, historically, Jerusalem's destruction came at the hands of a regiment of Assyrians. This is not common knowledge. But they were under the direction of Rome. So it was Assyria, essentially, who did the dirty work of destroying Jerusalem. Allegedly, Rome ordered them not to destroy the temple, but so great was their hate of the Yahudim that they razed it to the ground, as prophesied by Yahshua. The next phrase, until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled, spoken of by Yahshua here, speaks of a time in the future. Let's read on in the book of Luke, chapter 21 and verse 25. And there will be signs in the sun, in the moon, and in the stars, and on the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them from fear and the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to happen, look up and lift up your heads, because your redemption draws near. And the word redemption here is not the word salvation. Salvation is something that Yahshua did when he came the first time. He died for us. He provided salvation for each and every one of us. When he returns is when he will bring redemption. He is coming. He paid the price for us with his life. And he's coming back to those who honor him and honor his ways, which are the ways of Yahweh. John chapter 4. And verse 21. We've read a little bit of this, so I want to read a little bit more. Yahshua said to her, the Samaritan woman at the well, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain, which is Mount Gerizim, nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know." Actually, it says we know what we worship. "For salvation is of the Jews, that is, the Yahudim," which literally means worshippers of Yahweh. Verse 23, "But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him," to worship him in spirit and in truth. Yahweh, verse 24, Yahweh is spirit. And those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. We are to worship Yahweh from the heart and the mind, just like he prophesied. Just like he prophesied, he will cause us to do. The Father is seeking such to worship him. Yahweh tells us this in the Old Testament. And Yahshua reaffirms this in the New Testament. So when will the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled, as Yahshua was speaking of? We've touched on this before, but let me review this briefly so that you might recall when the Gentiles are going to return. In the book of Romans, in chapter 11, beginning at verse 24, this is Paul trying to help the people in Rome who are seeking Yahweh to understand what's going on here. Romans 11, beginning at verse 24. For if you were cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and were grafted contrary to nature into the cultivated olive tree, he's talking about the Gentiles being grafted into Israel, how much more will these, who are natural branches, speaking of the Yahudim, be grafted into their own olive tree? For I do not desire, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery. He's calling it a mystery. Why is it a mystery? Because people don't understand the Old Testament and what it relates to in the Old Testament. He's speaking to people who don't know the Old Testament. For I do not desire, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own opinion, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. Now Paul is talking about the Gentiles and their fullness. Verse 26, and so all Israel will be saved in this way. When the Gentiles come in, all Israel will be saved. As it is written, the deliverer will come out of Zion, and he will turn away unholiness from Jacob. Jacob, you know, Israel. For this is my covenant with them when I take away their sins. And what exactly was Paul referring to, stating, until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in? We're still trying to figure that out because we don't know the Old Testament. We have to look there. And if you look in the first book of the Bible, Genesis, in chapter 48, we'll read the answer. Genesis 48, beginning at verse 17. Genesis 48, 17. Now when Joseph saw that his father laid his right hand on the head of Ephraim, it displeased him, so he took hold of his father's hand to remove it from Ephraim's head to Manasseh's head. And Joseph said to his father, not so, my father, for this one is firstborn. Put your right hand on his head. But his father refused and said, I know, my son, I know. He shall become a people, speaking of Manasseh, and also shall be great. But truly his younger brother, speaking of Ephraim, shall be greater than he. Now, speaking of Ephraim, his descendants shall become a multitude of nations. In Hebrew, this multitude of nations is Maloh HaGoyim, translated correctly, fullness of the Gentiles. This is what Paul is talking about. It's also what Yahshua is talking about. Both Paul and Yahshua affirm, to those who have ears to hear and eyes to see, that the fullness of the Gentiles refers to Ephraim returning to Yahweh. Now, who is Ephraim? Now, who is Ephraim? They're those lost sheep of the house of Israel who were scattered by Assyria to the nations, to the Gentiles. They're those, I believe, who, through the Spirit of Yahweh, carry copies of the Torah, the prophets, the writings, and the Brit Chadashah, the New Testament, into their worship. These are the lost sheep of the house of Israel that Yahshua sent his 12 apostles to evangelize. In Matthew 10, we see this clearly. Matthew 10, verse 5. These 12 Yahshua sent out and commanded them, saying, do not go into the way of the Gentiles. That doesn't mean don't go on the path that goes to the Gentiles. He's saying, do not take up their ways. Do not go into the way of the Gentiles. And do not enter a city of Samaritans. Why not? Well, they've heard already. Samaria is in between Galilee and Jerusalem. So in traveling back and forth from Galilee to Jerusalem, Yahshua and his disciples passed through Samaria. Do not go into the way of the Gentiles, and do not enter a city of the Samaritans. Verse 6, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven, which is a euphemism essentially for Yahweh, preach, saying, the kingdom of Yahweh is at hand. It is for these lost sheep that Yahshua came. That's his purpose, to reunite Israel, both the house of Judah and the house of Israel. In Matthew 15, it confirms this. Matthew 15, verse 24. But he answered and said, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He affirms this with his own mouth. Any other witnesses to that? In Malachi 1, verse 11. Malachi 1, verse 11. For from the rising of the sun, even to its going down, my name, this is Yahweh speaking, shall be great among who? The Gentiles. From the rising of the sun, even to its going down, my name, Yahweh, shall be great among the Gentiles. In every place, incense shall be offered to my name. Prayers will be offered to my name. And a pure offering, I would imagine that's in spirit and truth, a pure offering. For my name shall be great among the nations. His name is going to be known amongst the Gentiles. Says Yahweh of hosts, Yahweh Sabaoth. More on this. Ezekiel 37, and beginning at verse 9. Which is the story of the Valley of the Dry Bones. Ezekiel 37, beginning at verse 9. Also he said to me, this is Ezekiel saying, speaking of Yahweh, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath. Thus says the sovereign Yahweh, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived, and stood up on their feet, and an exceeding great army. Then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel, meaning the 12 tribes of Israel. They indeed say, our bones are dry, our hope is lost, and we ourselves are cut off. Is this not the condition of the world today? Even those who profess to believe in the Messiah, do they not also believe that the law of Yahweh is dead? It's been nailed to the tree. Are they not cut off? Verse 12, therefore prophesy and say to them, as I am saying to you who are listening, thus says the sovereign Yahweh, behold, O my people. He's calling you. He's calling you who are listening to this right now. I will open your graves and cause you to come up from the graves and bring you into the land of Israel. Then you shall know that I am Yahweh when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up from your graves. Do you think this has anything to do with the first resurrection? I think it does. Verse 14, I will put my spirit in you and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I, Yahweh, have spoken it and performed it, says Yahweh. Are we sure that the whole house of Israel means all 12 tribes? Well, in Ezekiel 37, beginning at verse 15, we read, "Again the word of Yahweh came to me, saying, As for you, son of man, take a stick for yourself and write on it, for Judah and for the children of Israel, his companions. Then take another stick and write on it, for Joseph, the stick of Ephraim, and for the house, and for all the house of Israel, his companions. Then join one to another for yourself into one stick, and they will become one in your hand." So he's talking about for Judah, which are two tribes, essentially Judah and Benjamin, and for the stick of Ephraim, the house of Israel, which are the other 10 tribes, who will become one. In verse 18, we read, "And when the children of your people speak to you, saying, Will you not show us what you mean by these? Say to them, Thus says the Sovereign Yahweh, Surely I will take the stick of Joseph, which is in the hand of Ephraim," that's Joseph's son, "and the tribes of earth Israel," the 10 tribes, "his companions, and I will join them with it, with the stick of Judah," the 2 tribes, "and make them one stick," 12 tribes, "and they will be one in my hand. And the sticks on which you write will be in your hand before their eyes." Verse 21, "Then say to them, Thus says the Sovereign Yahweh, Surely I will take the children of Israel from among the nations." Nations means Gentiles. Hagoyim, the Goyim. "Wherever they have gone, and will gather them from every side and bring them into their own land. And I will make them one nation in the land, on the mountains of Israel. And one king shall be king over them all. They shall no longer be two nations." And clearly we have here a delineation between the two. They, these two nations, all 12 tribes, will be one. "And one king shall be king over them all. They shall no longer be two nations, nor shall they ever be divided into two kingdoms again. They shall not defile themselves any more with their idols, nor with their detestable things, nor with any of their transgressions. But I will deliver them from all their dwelling places in which they have sinned, and will cleanse them. Then they shall be my people, and I will be their Elohim." Verse 24, "David, my servant, shall be king over them, and they shall all have one shepherd. They shall also walk in my judgments and observe my statutes and do them." When Yahweh says through Ezekiel that David, my servant, shall be king over them, he does not mean King David, literally. If you recall, David is dead at this point in time, and Solomon became king. It was after Solomon's death that the nation of Israel divided into the house of Judah and to the house of Israel. The very first verse in the New Testament declares exactly who Yahshua is. Matthew 1, verse 1. "The book of the genealogy of Yahshua the Messiah, the son of David," meaning the descendant of David, "the son of Abraham," the descendant of Abraham. Yahweh, through Ezekiel, points to Yahshua as that one shepherd. And that shepherd's flock, Ezekiel says, "They shall also walk in my judgments and observe my statutes and do them." If you turn to the book of Jeremiah in chapter 50, Jeremiah chapter 50, beginning at verse 4, which says, "In those days And in that time, this is a Hebrew idiom for prophecy, essentially. In those days and in that time, says Yahweh, the children of Israel shall come, they and the children of Judah together. With continual weeping they shall come and seek Yahweh, their Elohim. They shall ask the way to Zion with their faces toward it, saying, come and let us join ourselves to Yahweh in a perpetual covenant that will not be forgotten. My people have been lost sheep. Their shepherds, and listen to this, their shepherds have led them astray. Who is he speaking of? He's speaking of the teachers of the house of Judah and the teachers of the house of Israel. They have led people away from the way of Yahweh, from the law of Yahweh. They shall ask the way to Zion with their faces toward it, saying, come and let us join ourselves to Yahweh in a perpetual covenant that will not be forgotten. My people have been lost sheep. Their shepherds have led them astray. They have turned them away on the mountains, on the other authorities. They have gone from mountain to hill, from authorities to even lesser authorities. They have forgotten their resting place. And where is their resting place? Is it not Yara Shalom? Is it not Yahshua? Is it not Jerusalem? Is that not the resting place? We turn back to Jeremiah chapter 3. Jeremiah chapter 3. Beginning at verse 14. Jeremiah 3:14 reads, return, return, O backsliding children, says Yahweh, for I am married to you. He hasn't forgotten. He has not forgotten the covenant that he's made with Israel at Mount Sinai. Return, O backsliding children, says Yahweh, for I am married to you. I will take you, one from a city, and two from a family, and I will bring you to Zion, and I will give you shepherds according to my heart, who will feed you with knowledge and understanding. Then it shall come to pass, when you are multiplied and increased in the land in those days, says Yahweh, that they will say no more, the ark of the covenant of Yahweh. It shall not come to mind, nor shall they remember it, nor shall they visit it, nor shall it be made any more. Verse 17, at that time, and this is prophetic, Jerusalem shall be called the throne of Yahweh, and all nations shall be gathered to it, to the name of Yahweh, to Jerusalem. No more shall they follow the dictates of their evil hearts. In those days, the house of Judah shall walk with the house of Israel. And they shall come together out of the land of the north to the land that I have given as an inheritance to your fathers. Yahweh remembers, verse 19. Then I said, this is Yahweh speaking, how can I put you among the children and give you a pleasant land, a beautiful heritage of the hosts of nations? And then he answers it. He says, and I said, you shall call me my father and not turn away from me. Surely as a wife treacherously departs from her husband, so you have dealt treacherously with me, O house of Israel, says Yahweh. Now, adding to this are two more witnesses, Kepha and Jacob, Peter and Jacob, in the book of 1 Peter and the book of James. What are they witnessing to? they're witnessing to the existence of the house of Israel and to the house of Judah. 1 Peter 1, verses 1 and 2. Peter, an apostle of Yahshua the Messiah, to the pilgrims of the dispersion. What dispersion? Well, not the one in 70 A.D., the one that happened, I believe, about 700 years before. To the pilgrims of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect, in other words, chosen by Yahweh, the called out ones, part of the remnant of Israel, according to the foreknowledge of Yahweh the Father in sanctification of the Spirit, that is, set apart by Yahweh, for obedience. Obedience. Obedience to what? Obedience to the law of Yahweh. And sprinkling of the blood of Yahshua the Messiah. Grace to you and peace be multiplied. Peter's talking about the pilgrims of the dispersion, the lost 10 tribes of Israel who were dispersed 700 years before. Now, if he is writing to them, don't you think he knows their address? In fact, he names the cities where they are, where they have inhabited, some of them. Now, it is an historical fact that the northern kingdom of Israel, named the House of Israel, has over the past 2,700 years have assimilated into all the cultures, nations, and peoples of the world. Could he be writing to us? I believe so. And these 10 tribes went out into the world and took up the religions of the countries that they inhabited. James 1, verses 1, the second witness to this. I, James, a bondservant of Yahweh and the Master, Yahshua the Messiah, to the 12 tribes who are dispersed abroad. To the 12 tribes. James is writing to the 12 tribes of Israel. Now, wait a minute. In Jerusalem, in those days, there was only a remnant of Judah, mixed with a remnant of Levi and Benjamin and probably a lot of other the tribes as well. Why is James writing to all 12 tribes? Could it be that he is writing not so much to physical Israel, in other words, Judea, but to spirit-filled Israel? That is, those who are willing to abide in the law given to Israel. Let me leave you with this word from John 4, verse 23. The hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers, the one who is worshiping in spirit and truth, will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship Him. He's seeking you who are willing to worship in spirit and in truth. And by that I mean by His Spirit and in His truth. And may it be so. Hallelujah.